It is my real pleasure to be able to introduce to you David Weil today. David is the Director of Enterprise Application Services at Ithaca College. He is responsible for strategic planning and policy development for many of the teaching-based technology programs and also for the overall technical infrastructure. I would point out also that David is a 2003 Fry Institute graduate. So I think we're in for a very nice presentation. David?
Thank you. Good afternoon. Thanks again for joining me. And I do want to say when I submitted this proposal back in January, it was fully intended to have my manager of web development with me. But it turns out that the Higher Ed Web Conference is exactly the same week as EDUCAUSE this year. So just as a piece of advice, if you're planning a conference presentation, you may want to check, make sure you don't have conflicts. But Benjamin Costello will be joining us virtually a little later in the presentation, and I'd really be remiss if I don't acknowledge his contribution to a lot of what I'm going to speak about. As Scott indicated, I'm the Director of Enterprise Application Services at Ithaca College, been responsible for web development and a number of other aspects of our services. And finally, Matt Madrosky is one of the lead developers for a lot of the portal infrastructure that, again, I'm going to reference. Just real quick, feel free to email myself or any of us if you have questions after the presentation. More information is also available on a information website called My Home, and there's a copy of the presentation is on the EDUCAUSE conference site. And for those of you who are tweeting, the session hashtag is E10SESS072. Before I get into the nuts and bolts of the presentation, I do want to sort of set the overall objective here. And my goal really is to share with you some of the thoughts and ideas that we went through as we were rethinking the role of a portal on a campus. So the goal is to give you some ideas, some food for thought. It's not really going to be a technical presentation, but talk about some examples and hopefully generate some ideas and thoughts. Ithaca College, where I'm from, has roughly 6,000 undergraduate students, about 1,200 faculty and staff. We're in upstate New York. It looks like that during at least 3 months out of the year. I won't put a picture up there of the fourth. But, and we are partly, we have a small graduate program. So a lot of what I'm going to talk about is a result of efforts that we undertook to create something that we call My Home at Ithaca, which is a web portal that we developed from scratch using some open source and other components, but we did a lot of our own coding. And we deployed it back in the fall of 2008. And we did a major upgrade in the last spring. One of the things about this is it blends a traditional portal with a number of social networking and other components to try and provide a real integrative environment for our faculty, staff, and students. Some of the work was derived from work that we did for a prospective student portal, which has been out there a little longer, and then we wanted to do something for our current faculty, staff, and students. Real quick, because I will make reference to that, to this. This is what our portal looks like. Pretty typical. We have tabs, portlets. These can be moved around. I'll be referring to it a lot more throughout the presentation. It's customizable in that you can go up to the add content area, click on that, and then there are portlets that you can then drag down. For example, I could drag down the ESPN portlet and add it right to there. We also have a community section, which is for, again, some typical social networking components there. And as I'll mention later, it's integrated, which is really a lot of what this is about. Ever since we turned this on a couple years ago, we find that 80% of the campus population, that's 80% of faculty, staff, and students, log into this every day. That's pretty powerful when you think about it. There's no other place on campus, virtual or physical, that we have 80% of our population visiting each day. So I think that gives us, there's a lot of potential there for how we could leverage this for campus messaging, to use it to unify the campus and for other purposes. And honestly, I don't think we're really taking advantage of this yet. I think we still have to figure out how do we really leverage the power of this, that we know that we'll get 80% of our population's eyeballs every day on this site. A typical portal environment has components such as calendaring, push-pull messaging, dashboards, things like that. And when we were thinking about our portal, we wanted to take these ideas, but we also wanted to rethink it a little bit. And the rest of the presentation is going to talk about these six primary areas in which we have rethought a little bit about the role of a campus portal. Blending, starting at the beginning, one of the things that we wanted the campus portal to do is to blend on and off campus worlds, really acknowledge that people are do a lot more than just focus on their college and university work. We wanted to focus on the user experience, use the portal to build community. Can we leverage it to increase security? How do we provide content to the portal environment? And then finally, can it be used to help unify the campus and break down the barriers between various organizational units? These are all lofty goals, and I'm not saying we have fully achieved any of these. But again, the idea of this talk is to start thinking about how we might re-envision what the portal could do or what it can be on campus. So with that introduction, let me dive right into the first section, blending on and off campus worlds. As we all know, we don't just focus our lives on our universe, college and university work. We want to bring in information from Gmail. We want to get the latest weather radar. I'm a weather junkie. That's like my main thing. We want to bring in news, other information feeds. So how can we provide an environment that brings that information and puts it right alongside your campus information? There's a few ways to do that, or a few ways that we did it. One is that we created some email portlets that make it very easy to bring in Gmail or AOL mail or a generic IMAP account. So what a person can do is go in and drag down as many of these portlets as they want. They would enter their username and password, or if it's a more generic portlet, they would fill out a little more information. And then they would have their mail right there next to their college or university mail. Another way to sort of bridge these two worlds is through, of course, RSS. So we have RSS. We create an RSS portlet that someone can drag down, and you can drag down as many copies of that as you want. And then each one you would customize with a particular feed that you wanted in that location. And again, you could arrange these on your tab, on your home tab. Another way to bridge on-campus and off-campus is to create specific external content portlets. The top three here are just RSS feeds, but we've customized them a little bit because a percentage of our users aren't even comfortable entering in a, you know, or setting up an RSS feed. So we created some specific portlets that they can add. And then we have other portlets such as Facebook or the weather satellite that people can bring in, which are pre-configured for them. When you're all done with this, this might be somebody's home tab. When they log in, they get college information and then their Gmail right next to their college mail, RSS feeds, this is college information, Facebook. So again, we're trying to make this environment usable and flexible so that people aren't going, oh, let me go over here and do my college work and let me go back here or go to a different website to do my personal work or to bring in ideas from there. One of the things that was important to us as we were thinking about the portal was we really wanted to create an environment that was modern, that provided a really sound user experience. So for us, we were looking at four areas in which we might address that. The first is creating a Web 2.0 experience, drag and drop, the ability to customize inline content refresh, and to create a more application-like experience. So this little screencast is just showing you some of the functionality. If you hover over a section, you might get additional information. You can customize the particular portlet. Inline content refresh, fancy way of saying that each portlet can update its information on its own, at its own timing, based upon a trigger or a set period of time, and it'll go out and refresh the content. You can drag and drop. Here's an example of adding custom information within the portal or within a particular portlet. So we wanted to create a real Web 2.0 type of experience, because that our students, that's what they're experiencing when they go out to Facebook or other places. Campus portal shouldn't be any different. We also wanted user customization. Here we're going up and we're adding a portlet. Go to a search box. We're searching for library resources. We find a portlet for that, and I can drag it down and add it to a particular tab. And then once it's there, you can customize the look and feel of that particular portlet. So again, it was important to us to create an environment that would allow people to customize, to interact with it the way that they're used to doing with a number of other sites out there. We also wanted to make sure we leveraged APIs and services. The portlets call on existing web services. They utilize existing APIs and other things out there. The portlets really are just the top layer. The other existing technologies are behind the scenes, so it's really just providing the presentation. This is cycling here. Another important part of a user experience is providing mobile access. And there's a couple of different ways to do that today. One is a device-specific application, and the other is using a mobile-optimized website. We chose the mobile website approach for providing access to this. Device-specific apps, they're powerful. They can provide offline content, so you don't always have to be connected for them to be useful. But you do have to develop different apps for different platforms. We wanted to establish a stronger connection between the mobile experience and the desktop experience. So what we did is we provided a mobile wrapper around our portlets. And so if you go to the My Home site from a mobile device, it recognizes you're coming from a mobile browser, and it will display things, the same content, but it displays it in a simplified interface. And the advantage of this is that you're getting the same content as the desktop or laptop experience, but you're bringing it into a mobile form factor. And we even, content is, or the display is a little bit different depending on the capabilities of the device, more simplified for the older browsers, but essentially it's the same content. Where I was going to say is the mobile experience really mirrors what you get on the desktop. So, for example, we have tabs that go along the top of the desktop. Those tabs are displayed vertically in the mobile interface. But if I were to go to my desktop and I rearrange the order of these tabs, it would instantly, or just with a refresh, it would be reflected here. Then when you click into one of the tabs, and let me go back here for a second, if you click into one of the tabs, you'll see the portlets there. And the order of the portlets is the same order as they are displayed here. So it really is just trying to provide a different view into the desktop version of the portal interface. You can't do everything in the mobile version. There are some limitations. But we thought this approach provide a nice seamless back and forth for people. Another way that we wanted to look at the user experience and sort of rethink the way a portal could work on our campus is providing this concept of one point of entry. Now, this is a foundational concept of a portal. You go in there, and then you use the portal to then take you to other services. And we didn't really do much here that changes that. So there's four techniques that I'll just mention real quick to do this. Again, one point of entry, log into your portal, and then you can have a portlet with links to resources. Those portlets can be specific by your role, faculty, staff, student, or other ways. So one way is providing links, just simple links. Another way is providing portlets that bring that information into the portal environment. Something that's a little more integrated is what we call service tabs, and they run across the top of the screen here. And basically, when you click on a service tab, it brings in a framed version of whatever that service is. So in this case, you click there, and it brings in webmail. That's just a web frame, and there's nothing fancy there. Unfortunately, you can't do that with every service. Some services don't behave well in a frame. But it also is brokering you into that. So it's a single sign-on type of environment. And then the last way that we use the portal for bringing in one point of entry is something we call a quick access menu. And these are things, services such as Blackboard or our ERP system or student information system that we broker you into. And so it would open up in another window. And just a little bit more on the links, as I mentioned, you can have portlets that are predefined sets of resources. And these are used, I was surprised how popular these are. We get requests all the time to add links to this. So people are referring to this. And we have different ones for faculty, staff, and students. But then there's also customized ones. So you can pull down as many blank portlets create your own list of links. You can give it a name. You can say for my work links or personal links, and you can add your own links there. And again, it just is much handier, I think, than bookmarks in a browser because it goes with you. Wherever you are, you log into the portal, and you have all your links there. Finally, something that we have not implemented but we are talking about is location awareness. There's a lot of talk about this, of course, in the mobile space. But we're saying in a college environment, why limit it to mobile? I mean, we know a lot about our college environment. We know the IP addresses of the computers in the library, for example, or we know things about that. So why not provide more customized information depending on where I'm logging in from? If I'm logging in from on campus or off campus or a specific building. So for example, in the library, maybe you would log in and there would be an extra window that would come up with the library hours or the name of the reference librarian that's on duty for that day. And you could also add an additional portlet for the library-specific things. So we're toying around with various ideas of making the environment more location-aware. And then, of course, you extend that to a mobile environment as well. So those are some ideas about how you might want to rethink how the portal could help with the user experience. Another major area that we wanted to explore is how can the portal help build community? And some of this is very standard. I mean, you know, social networking tools, people are starting to see that. And I guess one would ask, why would we go to the bother and expense to build in social networking tools? People are using Facebook or MySpace or other tools there. And the key thing here is the integrated. We know who people are. In other words, in this environment, if it says Dave Weil, we have a pretty good assurance that it's me. It's not somebody else. You don't have that as much in a Facebook or other place. There's no one to vouch for who someone is. So some people feel it's a safer environment. Also, the fact that it's integrated. We can bring these experiences, interactions and stuff, and use them in different ways. And you can also have the information roll up again to the main tab. So when someone logs in, they can see their email, but they can also see in depth their social networking interactions. So tools like profile, friends, a wall, polls, you know, standard stuff. The other part of this is we want to emphasize that the community section is a place to meet, share, discover, discuss, and collaborate. Throughout the remainder of the talk, I will touch on these various functions and as it all ties together. But for now, on the social networking side, there's things like people, polls, groups, things like that. So this would be a typical profile. This happens to be for Benjamin. and basic information, but you can have friends and stuff like that. One thing I want to just quickly show, this is an advanced search window. We added a link on some of these searches called View Popular. So, for example, for favorite movies, if you click on View Popular, you get a tag cloud which shows the various movies that people have put in. The larger the font, the more people have put in that particular movie. The idea here is to help build community, for people to make connections. So if a lot of people are interested in The Dark Knight, so if you click on The Dark Knight, you'll see a list of other people within the Ithaca College community that are interested in The Dark Knight, and therefore you can start reaching out and establish friendships and community things that way. As I indicated, integrated is the key phrase here. So you can take those community functions, and there are portlets that correspond to them that you can add to your various tabs here. So in this example, we've pulled down a community activity portlet and some group portlets. So here you can monitor the general activity that's going on within the community, or you can monitor the activity feed for just your friends. You can update your status at the top here. And I'll talk about group activity in a minute, but you can also add portlets to monitor activity in a particular group. We also wanted to create a place for people to connect with various opportunities. On your campuses, there are all these things going on. Students are working on projects, maybe making movies or theater or research, things like that. And we want to provide a place for people to connect. So we created something called Opportunities, which is a classified-like system whose focus is on collaboration and making connections. So basically, you can go into Opportunities and you can browse what's going on there. You could post an opportunity. So here's a casting call for a project that Jordan Prescott is doing. And he describes the project, and then you can click here and say, hey, Jordan, I'm interested in helping you out with that or being a part of that. And again, this all rolls up. This opportunity would be listed on the activity feed. You could have additional links to more information about it and things like that. The integrative experience is really, I think, the power here. I'm going to just touch on this for a moment, security, but these first three things were really about the user and how the user interacts with things. Of course, as you're thinking about a portal infrastructure or a portal environment, there's also the technology behind the scenes. And we were hopeful that a portal would help us in two ways in terms of increasing security. First is providing the front door for web traffic. And working with our network group, the portal becomes the place that people have to pass through to access web-based services such as your course management system, student information system. So using appliance firewalls and other network technology that I leave to the network crew, your portal becomes the main interface and therefore can increase your security profile. The other is role-based access. This is a cornerstone of any portal type of implementation, but basically you know a lot about the person. And so you can control what they see, what they can access, messaging, things like that. So using role-based control, when a student logs in, they get a different set of portlets that they have access to than a staff member. So in this case, the student gets the weather, that's a silly example. Facebook, a staff member gets a calendar. Also, I mentioned the quick access menu before. This is another sort of layer of security. Students don't see certain services there. Faculty staff do, depending on their role. So using role-based access, you can also control messaging and other elements there. A portal is really only as good as the content that's in there. And how you bring content in is something that really gave a lot of thought to. So I want to talk about two different things here. leveraging existing services or existing content management system as a way to bring, to make the content creation easier, and then something that we're calling predefined content sets. So this is where I'm going to turn to my colleague, Benjamin. I'm going to bring him in virtually. I was actually going to try and Skype him in, but decided that would be way too stressful. So we pre-recorded a screencast here. And so I'm going to turn it over to Benjamin to talk a little bit about distributed content creation. So, Benjamin, all yours.
Hey, everybody. My name is Benjamin Costello, and I'm the manager of web and e-media development at Ithaca College. Sorry that I couldn't be there today, but I'm happy to be able to do this screencast for you. And I'm going to talk a little bit about ways of rethinking content creation and the distribution of content creation in the portal. Let's talk about some portals that have a fairly limited system for creating new portlets, for example, and sometimes that even requires a Java programmer, which isn't exactly the most extensible thing, and you can't necessarily give that out to just anybody on campus, for example. So what we did is we looked at it a little bit differently, and we said, you know what, we have this content management system at the college already that departments and offices and organizations use to maintain their websites for the public web server. And we said, you know, this is already in existence, and people are already using it, and they understand it, and it's well supported. Why don't we use that as the way that people can create and manage content for the portal as well, because it's already there? So what we did is we took and we built some tools that are relatively straightforward in our content management system that allows people to create content for the portal. The thing that's really exciting about that, and that extends beyond the portlets themselves, is the fact that the content management system has a predefined, or a well-established, rather, governance structure about who's allowed to edit what. So there's a certain group of people who are given permission to edit, say, the Department of Biology website. So what we inherit as a result of that is to say that those same people who were given access to put content on the public website on behalf of the Department of Biology also are inherently able to publish content in the portal on behalf of the Department of Biology automatically. So this also actually ends up working for things other than just portlets. So now we can say you can create portlets, tabs, you can use this when you're creating events or when you're creating a news story to say, I, Benjamin Costello, am creating a news story, but I'm creating it on behalf of the Department of Biology. And that gives it one more way to be filtered, viewed, and it also gives it some official credibility. So it's kind of an exciting thing because it's a win-win. We're using a system that exists, a governance structure that's already been established and exists and is already being managed, and we're using that to easily allow pretty much any department organization on campus to publish content that they see appropriate to the portal. So let me show you how we ended up doing that in my home, just so you can see what it looks like. So this is my home portal. I'm going to go to the test version here. And you'll notice that here's a portlet that I made called Quote of the Day. And it's got this John Dewey quote in there right now. And I'm not going to create a new one because I just want to show you this form is the same. So I'm going to go into the web content management system. And you'll see I'm here under Web Dev Testing. That's the department that I'm acting in on behalf of today. And you'll see that here's the portlet quote of the day. If I click on edit, this is the same form you'll see when you go to create a new portlet if it's a static portlet like this. Quote of the day is the title, a little description, some tags, give it a category. And then here's the content of the portlet. And I'm actually going to go and edit this to be a different quote. Let's just assume it's a different day. Life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans. And I'll change that last name to Lennon. All right, so I've made changes to my content, and I'm going to leave the permissions the same, which is that anybody can look at this and say save changes. And because I've made a change to the portlet, it's going to ask me to test it just to make sure that it looks good. And you'll see, here it is, life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans. Looks good to me. And so what I do is I would just say, show the portlet now, and then it's available to the whole community instantly. I'm going to keep it hidden, however, because I don't really want to have to update the quote every day. So this is just an example of how a person can go in on behalf of their department and create content for the portal. I hope that some of these concepts are useful and that you can take advantage of similar things at your school. Thanks.
So once again, a thank you to Benjamin, who couldn't be here. He was in Cincinnati. I got to go to Anaheim. He got to go to Cincinnati. So anyway, just to emphasize again what he was saying is we have a content management system that we also developed, and that has been in existence for a while. But what we did is instead of creating a whole new way for people to create content, we just create a portlet as a type of content that someone can create using the existing content management system. And what he didn't show, but what he implied is that this portlet, the quote of the day that he was demoing, would be available as a portlet that someone could drag down. And that's just one type of portlet, which is just a text only. It's not very exciting, but it's an information portlet. And we have more sophisticated portlets as well. So that's one way that we were looking to sort of streamline content delivery or content creation. The other is this concept of predefined content sets. So let me try and explain this. For certain audiences, let's say incoming students, freshmen, or maybe even faculty, but certain specific audiences, you might want to give them a collection of portlets that are related to something they need to do. So let's say incoming students, our first-year students, you may want them to have a portlet that has library resources, maybe something on the first-year reading initiative, maybe something on the registrar's office. But there's usually a collection of portlets or information sources that are related to them as a cohort. So what we provide the ability to do is for somebody, maybe it's in the first-year program, could go in and within their my home environment, create a blank tab, so they have a blank slate, pull down whatever portlets they feel are appropriate for this particular group, configure them however they want, so maybe there's some RSS feeds on there, so they'll go out and pre-configure those, and then they publish that whole collection as a tab. So now anybody, once that tab is available, anyone can go out and drag down the tab and then have that collection of portlets already pre-configured for them. But because they've now dragged it into their environment, they can work with it. They can customize it. They can say, you know, I don't really need that resource. I grew up in Ithaca. I know about the local stuff, so I'll delete that one. Or I want to add this RSS feed because I think it supplements that. So once you dragged it down, it's a collection that you have. However, but then the first-year program could go in and say, you know, we're going to push out an update for this. So they would announce that there's an update to that tab. If you have that tab in your environment, you'd get a message the next time you logged in saying the first-year program tab has been updated. Do you want to replace the version that you have with the update? Do you want to add the update as a copy, or do you want to ignore the update? So this gives a lot of flexibility, and there's a lot of power because you can prepackage things. So let me show you what it looks like from something called the Faculty Commons. So our Faculty Development Committee put together a tab called Faculty Commons. So you would go into the Add Content section, click on Tabs, find the tab that you want, and then you drag it down to your tab bar here. And when you do that, it loads the tab in place. And again, these are all portlets that they predefined. A lot of these are RSS feeds, but it's there. And now the people could work with it however they want. They can push out another update, things like that. So we think it's a fairly flexible way to fairly quickly deliver sets of content to whoever you want, and you can go from there. So that's another way that we try to rethink content delivery. The last section that I wanted to talk about is, this is really something that our president is really pushing. We have a relatively new president, I think about 18 months in now, and he he really was hoping that we would be able to use the portal environment to help unify the campus. And by that, you know, it's get people to collaborate more, lower some of the barriers between organizations and things like that. So there's a few ways that we can leverage the portal environment for that. First, it's a central place for official information. We already know 80% of our population is logging into it every day. So we do this with a couple different tools. One is the IC Message Center that you've probably seen on most of the pages, which is up here. And this contains official information, headlines from something we call Intercom, which is our campus newsletter, a graphic that can rotate in and out, you know, depending on what's going on. We can also add emergency information up here if we need to. And the thing about this is it cannot be moved, cannot be deleted, cannot be messed with, really. So that's there. So people log in, they have to see that. The other thing that we have on the home tab is something, again, we call Intercom. Intercom is our campus newsletter. Various people can contribute to it. Now this, people have a little more options with. They can say just show the subjects, so it can be smaller. They can collapse it entirely if they want to, but they cannot delete it. So again, we're looking at the portal environment as a place that we feel we have a right to push out campus information on. We're exploring a different approach, though, because one of the complaints that we're getting is people want to make a different tab their first tab that they see when they log in. People are saying, yeah, this is great, but we really want a little more flexibility. The problem with that from our perspective is then you lose the message center, which is part of the justification for why we went down this whole path to begin with. But we're looking at a different approach. So this is a mock-up. This is showing the faculty commons, which I showed you earlier. But basically, someone could set whatever tab they want as their default. And then we've added something over here. We move the message center over here, so it would sort of pop out. So basically, when someone would first log in, the message center would display like this, open on the side. And then they could click on the X, and it would close it, and then they could go on their business. So this way, we're providing information, sort of important stuff. And if something happened during the day and we had to push out updated information or something, we're looking at either flashing one of these or even, forcing it to expand. So just different ways to try to make sure that we provide official information in a timely manner, ensure that people at least know it's there, whether they actually read it or not. You know, we can't control that. And balance that against customization. We want to use the portal environment for collaboration and discussion. Groups, fairly standard. Anyone can go in and create a group. Anyone can join a group. You can have public groups, private groups. This is really taking off. I'm on the college budget committee. We have a private group right in the My Home environment. And again, the power here is that it's integrated. So when I log into My Home tab, I see over on the right side, I'm following the budget committee group, and I know when additional documents are there or things are added that I need to keep track of. Students can do this. This is something from the LGBTA Association. And they have comments, you can have discussions, photos, various things like that can be there. And then discussion forums, typical discussion forums, there are some that are faculty only, some staff only, some student only, et cetera, so we can limit access to it. This is our president, very active discussion forum about a new strategic plan that we are working on as we speak. He wanted to use this mechanism to announce it to the campus community, to have comments from the campus community there, and so it's driving people here. Again, they can track activity on this back to the home tab. And finally, under unifying the campus, is something that we call Showcase. There's so much stuff going on campus, and it's really cool stuff, but how do you learn about it all? And so Showcase allows anybody who thinks they have something that they think is pretty cool, they can add it to the College Showcase. And so here you can go in and you can browse projects or activities that are going on. In this case, someone posted something about a glass half full, which is a it's about water in Ethiopia. And you can say who's collaborating on this project. It ties back to that opportunity section that I showed you earlier. So you can say, we need people to help out with this. You can add photos, comments, and other things as well. And one of the things we are going to do is when someone posts a project, they have there's a little checkbox saying they give us permission to then syndicate this information back to our public website. So we can also use it as a marketing tool to say, this is some of the exciting stuff that's happening on campus. So those are six areas that we at least explored as we were trying to think about how could we do a portal and how could it help us unify the campus or provide more collaboration or, you know, blend on and off campus worlds. I want to add one more thing. I just want to show you that we haven't stopped with this. This is a 2-minute clip from Matt Madrosky, who is the lead developer for a lot of what I showed you. And he's already thinking about a slightly different model. And this is not fully fleshed out, but again, since our theme here is rethinking the campus portal, I thought it'd be appropriate to at least show you some things that we're toying with taking a portal to sort of the next step.
Hi, my name is Matt Madrosky, and I'm a web and electronic media developer here at Ithaca College. And I wanted to spend a few minutes talking about some of the ways we've been rethinking our own campus portal, share with you some of the ideas that we've had, and one concept in particular that hopefully you'll be able to glean some ideas from. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with it at this point, but this is My Home at Ithaca, and it uses a lot of the standard portal conventions that you'd find elsewhere. User content is available via tabs along the top, portlets fall below that, and then there's an area for applications and services. And what we wanted to do is rethink that entire experience. So what we did is we created a place where we can experiment with some of those ideas that we're calling My Home 3. Now you'll notice right from the get-go that it looks very visually different, but some of the concepts still apply. User content is still available along the top, but we've relocated our applications and services along the left side here. This is our new dashboard. Right now, a majority of the content in My Home is entirely user customizable, so there isn't an effective way for us to be able to push content out to users. What the dashboard allows us to do is syndicate some of the more popular sources of information, as well as some of those links and sources of information that would normally be hidden deeper within the portal, up into one central location. This notifications box would ultimately allow all of our applications and services, everything from our student information system to our employee financial services system, allow that to push targeted messages at users and have that be in an important location from within the My Home interface. Another one of the concepts that we've been toying with is rebranding our applications and services. Right now, for example, our central news service on campus is called Intercom, and Homer is the name of our student information system. We're toying with the idea of potentially rebranding those, so instead of Intercom, we'd have My Home News, and instead of Homer, we might have My Home Student Services. Let me just show you around just a little bit. If I click on the News tab here, you'll notice that we're trying to rethink the way a portlet gets displayed. So, for example, instead of displaying CNN news and text along the top here, we're actually using the CNN logo for a quicker visual reference for our users. Along the lines of creating a more unified experience, I can show you one of our applications here, News. And what we've done is fully integrated news. Right now, when you click on Intercom or a story from Intercom, it actually pulls you out of My Home and into the Intercom interface. So what we wanted to do here is merge those two together and create something that feels truly like My Home. So users here can browse stories, comment, read directly within the My Home interface. And it allows us to pull some of those external features, such as submitting a story, and bring them together right into the My Home interface. So that was a super quick look at some of the ideas that we've been toying with, but hopefully it will give you some ideas of your own. Thanks.
So thanks, Matt. He didn't get to go anywhere, unfortunately, but anyway. And if you really want to challenge anyone, ask them to do a screencast like that. It's a lot harder than it looks to actually put that together. Anyway, so hopefully, you know, provided some ideas, some concepts, some thoughts about how you might take a portal environment and rethink it a little bit. This is what we did at Ithaca. I'm not saying it's the be-all, end-all of anything, but anyway, thank you for your time. There's definitely more information on our /myhome page, www.ithaca.edu/myhome. Unfortunately, there's no guest access to the actual portal environment, but there's other videos and screenshots there. And please send me an email, or you can send it either to me directly or to the My Home team there. And this presentation is on the conference site, but the videos are not. They're too large. Anyway, thank you very much for your time. I'm happy to take questions. Yes? We have not. The engine is there. The tools to do that is there. We have not implemented it yet. It's just something we need to get to. But we would be able to have a portlet that's only a particular department would have access to. There's a lot of interest in that, because then a department could use that as an internal communication source. Although the group function can also serve in that capacity, because with the group function, you can have a closed group, and then the information there can roll up to a portlet. So that also allows you to have a more ad hoc type of community. But the short answer is the hooks are there. We haven't implemented it. No, the group is controlled by whoever wants to be a member of that group. So, yeah.
You talked about predefined context sets.
Mm-hmm.
And the tabs.
The tab, right.
But can a user portal add or remove the tabs?
Yes, I'm sorry. The question is on the tabs. Let me see if I can find the page here. The tabs across the top, I'm sorry, I glanced right over that, didn't I? You can go to add content and click on tabs and then drag down a blank tab, and then you can start your own thing there. Excellent point. I apologize for, you know, you do this so many times. Yes, Scott.
Dave, with the ability to have groups or to form groups, can a student or a faculty member, can they have people from outside the university join those groups?
No, this is entirely a closed community. We're under a lot of pressure now to figure out how to extend this to alumni and to wrap alumni in this. And that has a whole host of questions that we're wrestling with, because one of the selling points is that it is a closed community. So therefore, if you're posting, we hope people are a little freer in their expression in there, too, within limits, I guess. And if you start adding the alumni community to that, well, that's always expanding, and people who are fairly, could be 10, 20 years removed from the institution. So we're trying to find a mix, because there's a lot of desire to establish collaboration between alum and current students. So, from there. Yes?
Do you have a governance structure for the portal? How do you make decisions about
We have a, the question is governance for the portal environment. There is something called the Web Strategy Group, which has two vice presidents and representation from a number of different areas on campus. There is a presentation that we did last year at EDUCAUSE. There's a couple slides in that that talk about that if you want it, and it's on the, go to the /myhome site, and it would be in there. Yeah. Sure, the question was, did we choose to not do a single sign-on or broker into certain applications? The answer to that is yes. We're trying to create an environment where people are going to be more comfortable with us doing that. But for example, you cannot go directly to the finance application with a single sign-on. But we're going to wrestle with that. As far as the open source tools, we used a lot of the community is based on a product. I don't believe it's open source, but it's inexpensive, called Social Engine, is sort of the underpinnings of that. And then the actual portal, I think there's Moo Tools, and this is where I wish Benjamin was here, not Cincinnati, because he's the one who can answer that better. But if you want more details, feel free to drop me an email. I think Scott's about to say, I'm done. So I'm happy to answer any other questions, but thanks again for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks.
It was very enjoyable.